From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. 1 week from today, as many as 40% of Americans of voting age will take part in midterm elections. 4 years ago, it was 39%. With the polls showing Republicans in danger of losing control of the House and of emerging at best with a smaller majority in the Senate, much of the campaign is about which 40% of the voting age population is going to vote. Many campaigns are relying heavily on television ads. Here's just a taste from one race. Florida State Representative Joe Negron is the Republican candidate voters get if they pull the lever for Mark Foley, the disgraced congressman. Here's part of one Negron ad.
I believe Social Security is a promise we must keep, and I don't break promises. I'm Joe Negron, and this is my message. This campaign may be short, but my record isn't.
Now, here's an ad from Tim Mahoney, the Democrat in that race, who's punching back.
Joe Negron sold us out
to the big insurance companies.
Negron took $82,000.
$82,000.
Why'd you do it, Joe?
Why?
Why'd you do it, Joe?
Maybe he needed the money.
We can trust Tim Mahoney.
Joining me now to talk about the last week of campaigning nationwide are two experienced political hands. Democratic media strategist David Axelrod joins us from Chicago. He's working with House candidate Tammy Duckworth in Illinois and gubernatorial candidate Deval Patrick in Massachusetts. Welcome to the program, David Axelrod.
Thank you.
And Republican Bill Greener is in Washington. He's working with House contenders such as Congressman Don Sherwood of Pennsylvania and Michelle Bachmann in Minnesota. Republicans, of course, welcome to the program. Bill Greener.
Thank you.
First, we've heard a couple of campaign ads. At this point, I'm sure that most voters you contacted would say they've heard enough or far too many. In the last week of the campaign, is it still time for more advertising or for new advertising, David Axelrod?
I do believe that many people who live normal lives have not spent weeks and months considering their choices. They're really focusing in this last week on those choices, and it's important to present closing arguments to them. In terms of last-minute persuasion, I think television remains very important.
And you go with television ads that have proved successful so far with groups, or you have new ones that you would introduce in the last week?
I think you're going to see most campaigns and supporting organizations run new ads that in most cases probably sum up their basic arguments. In other cases, they may try and introduce new ones to change the dynamic.
Bill Greener, do you take the same view of advertising in the last week? And do you see advertising this year as being especially more negative than it's been in previous election years?
I don't think the advertising and the tone of it is any more or less negative this cycle than the ones in the recent past. And I agree with David that in the closing days, it's important, sort of both ends of the intensity spectrum, to get to voters. And there are a lot of voters, as David described, I guess you would say they're the normal people, that are high in their propensity to vote, but low in their intensity to do so. And as a consequence, television is the most important medium to get to them. Then you've got the high-intensity voters, and to get to them and to increase the depth among them, you got to use other vehicles.
Other vehicles? For sometimes real vehicles, I gather.
Absolutely. Absolutely. On election day, you'll see both parties with cars and drivers and volunteers, you know, doing everything they can to leave no stone unturned.
But I'd like you both to talk about this get out the vote notion, for which the Republicans are often given credit at being more successful than Democrats. What is actually done? We understand the mechanics of arranging rides for people, but in contacting people prior to Election Day, ideally, what takes place now, David Axelrod?
I think that in the Tammy Duckworth race, our campaign has had hundreds and hundreds of people out every weekend for the last several weeks, identifying tens of thousands of supporters. And on Election Day, we'll be back in touch with those people to make sure that they vote.
And Bill Greener, or the Republican Party, your party, is typically extremely good at doing this. What is its secret?
Well, let me just say something. Republicans are better at doing voter ID and voter turnout than we have been in the past. But the reality is this is a play that's been part of the Democratic Party's playbook for eons and eons. Most of the work in many instances has been done by groups supportive of the Democratic Party and their candidates, whether it's teachers' unions or the AFL-CIO, et cetera. But the notion that somehow Republicans have this incredible advantage over Democrats when it comes to voter ID, voter contact, and voter turnout is, I guess, an urban myth of sorts. But I will say it's kind of interesting. We're talking about voter turnout when the reality is, especially with an Illinois consultant on the phone, that it isn't much different than it was when Abraham Lincoln said, make a list of the voters, contact as many of them as you can, and turn out the ones on election day that will vote for you.
Let me ask you both a question. If you're in a close race with 6 days of campaigning and then election day left, is it vital to get an infusion of cash from someplace else, from a national committee or from some state party group? Or basically, is it all spelled out by now? Yes.
You finally found something that David and I can absolutely agree 100%. Cash is always good.
But although the reality of television is that beyond the end of the week here, there's not much you can do with it. Your last TV buys have to be placed by Friday morning. So, you know, the earlier you get in the week that you get that money in, the better. Let me just make one other point that's made this a very interesting election year. When we began this year, the thought was that 20 to 30 House seats would be very competitive. We're in a situation now where there are active campaigns in over 50 districts, and the Republican Party is in this awkward position of having to defend seats in places like Wyoming and Idaho and Kansas, and they've actually left some districts which were thought to be strong Republican districts, including some incumbent districts. So I think this is a much different situation than people anticipated even 6 months ago, and it should make for a really exciting election night.
One last question. Because Election Day falls so late this year, we need not speak of the possibility of an October surprise, but rather of a November surprise. Is there anything that could happen, something in the news, something that you tune in every morning and late every night for, looking for, thinking that could seriously change the way races that you're involved in might end up? Bill Greener, any event that might do that?
I don't think that the voters are amenable to something that credibly becomes described as a surprise. Are there events that could be sudden, abrupt, and dramatic that I don't even know what they are, and David doesn't, and you don't either, that people would say, boy, that makes me rethink my decision? Sure. But I don't think that this is the time for anybody to try to be clever or cute.
I would certainly agree with that. And I think voters are they're pretty serious about this election. I think that there is something large astride the country here in terms of the desire for change. And I don't think that any transient event, no matter how dramatic, is likely to interrupt that flow. I think that there's something bigger going on out there.
Well, Democratic media strategist David Axelrod and Republican consultant Bill Greener, thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
You.